This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Sound in the world. That's the opening bell Thursday on the New York Stock Exchange after a really rocky couple of weeks, especially this week. Stocks ended mostly higher on Wall Street, so making up a little bit of the ground they lost in a huge plunge on Wednesday of this past week. Stocks in Asia and Europe started the latest wave of selling early on Thursday. Boy, China saying it's going to take necessary countermeasures if President Donald Trump follows through on a threat to impose tariffs on more than $100 billion of Chinese goods. So we'll see. The bond market, which has been among the loudest and earliest to say, look out, economy, also continued to show concerns as the yields fell. So now there's conversations about recessions. When we look at stocks overall, just for grins, I'll throw this out. Walmart had a great day, 6.1% gain after some pretty good results and its outlook for the year. So consumer product makers, also big winners. Kellogg, Procter & Gamble, each had nice days. Consumer spending is what people are looking at. It's the bulk of the U.S. economy, and of course, shoppers have been carrying the economic burden, of course, recently, and worries that businesses will pull back on their spending due to the uncertainty because of the trade war. That's worrisome. So other economies are certainly slowing with this trade war doing some damage around the world to manufacturing. So if you ever say, I'm an isolationist, I don't care what happens globally, yes, you do, because so many of our brothers and sisters make their living flat out on it. But also, we are absolutely affected by so much of what we buy because of the parts, etc., and how they're put together and how it's produced. So we have to care about that because it matters. What's in your wallet, what's in my wallet, and what's happening, and how are we getting jammed up in other arenas because of a tariff. And I agree, putting the squeeze on the Chinese is a thing that Trump did that I thought was wise to do, but now you got to really play this out, this whole handout, wisely, because I don't think anybody thought the Chinese would dig their heels in the way that they have. I don't know about you, but lately, the few times when I've been sitting on the couch and tube surfing, I've seen some pretty horrific cigarette ads, warnings against smoking cigarettes, where, of course, they have an electronic box, and they seem relatively young, and it's sad, and they say they smoked their whole life. And I just saw a story today about graphic images on cigarette boxes. They're making another stab at adding graphic images. That's why they're doing it, to discourage people from lighting up. It'd be the first change to U.S. cigarette warnings in 35 years, so check out what they're doing. 13 different warnings that would appear on all cigarettes, including images of cancerous neck tumors. I've seen these already. Diseased lungs and feet with amputated toes. So not messing around. This is what can happen. Color illustrations about heart disease and diabetes and head and neck cancer. Wow. Before, the previous attempt to do this was defeated in court in 2012. Free speech grounds. But now they upheld this. So, I don't know. So far, I have to think that some of the cigarette companies can't be happy about it, and maybe they haven't said they're challenging it, but these are pretty graphic. You'll see them. Even if you don't smoke, check out the side of the cigarette packages that are coming out. because it's very, very graphic. Let's put it that way. Incredibly, incredibly graphic. It was all about celebrating, not being too graphic, in New Hampshire for the president. So he was there talking about all kinds of things and, you know, everything from what's 2020 going to look like to successes, you know, so on and so forth down the line, to somebody in the crowd talking about weight and him saying, well, I have to worry about my own weight, and going, having a little back and forth over that. But this is kind of the precursor to, oh, my gosh, here we are again, right? So the Victory Lap is smart. If you're the incoming president and you have the ability to do that, which he does, that's exactly, you know, where he's headed with that, because he gets that first crack at New Hampshire, which totally figures into, I mean, others are going there, but it totally plays into a presidential bid. Everybody knows that Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, so important in those early runs, I guess, is what I want to say. And how about this? There's a big story, and who knows if it's cockamamie or really, really true, but supposedly Donald Trump wants the U.S. to buy Greenland. The Wall Street Journal says that the president has brought up the idea to advisors with varying degrees of seriousness, dinners, meetings, conversations, if they can acquire Greenland. Let's just buy Greenland. He's even asked his counsel to check it out. Some people think it's a good economic play. Others think it's not. You got a population of 56,000. It's a self-ruling part of the Kingdom of Denmark, with Copenhagen deciding most domestic matters, foreign and security policies, all that kind of stuff. You know, here's what's interesting and why I bring it up. Because he's not the first president to come up with that idea. Harry Truman developed interest in Greenland in 1946, offered to buy Greenland from Denmark for $100 million, but Denmark refused to sell. And the State Department also launched an inquiry into buying Greenland and Iceland in 1867. How about that? I don't know. Do you think the president will do a rally over there? The land is owned by the government. So one of the things that's being talked about is you can never own land there, since all land, and in Greenland you get the right to use the house where you want to build the house, but you can't buy it. That would be the pitch. There's the pitch. But you can own it. You can own it if we buy it. Something to keep an eye on, let's put it that way. Couple of things at the top. Scary moments for the Earnhardt family. Dale Earnhardt Jr., his wife, and his baby child, were in a small plane crash. And you look at that plane, I don't know how they got out of that plane. It crashed in Tennessee late on Thursday afternoon. They were taken to the hospital for evaluation. But the two pilots were okay. The dog that was in the plane was okay. Dale and his wife and his child okay. But I'm telling you, you look at that mangled up plane, I really say it's a miracle. I mean, the plane rolled off the end of the runway, and then they got to figure out what was the cause of the crash. Wow. Remember, he retired from racing in 2017, an analyst for NASCAR now, but he's taking the weekend off. Stay with us, Man Cave next.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
It's time to...
Yes, we're invading the man cave. As the man said, in the man cave, a plethora of things to talk about. That's why we're doing it. And we haven't done it in a couple of days, so let's get right to it. How about Tiger Woods? If Tiger Woods is in a golf tournament, there is no question the ratings will be there because people are fascinated by him. And now he's the comeback story where they weren't crazy about him. Now he's the comeback story. So he's tied for 50th now at the Medina. Course number 3 is what they're playing this week. He's 6th. On the PGA Tour, that's his world ranking. Remember, this is the year he won the Masters, but tied for 50th this one. Said he kind of messed with his swing. Here's what he had to say about that.
The forces have got to go somewhere, and unfortunately, when I make any kind of tweaks and changes to my swing, and it's like a new body part's aching. I try to make tweaks all year and trying to ease the stress off my back while still playing, and unfortunately, I haven't really done a very good job of that, and I was really excited about what I was doing at Liberty, and I made some nice changes, and obviously didn't feel very well on Thursday.
That's the name of the game. You make the changes and you got to really stick with them. I think for a lot of people that play those solo sports, superstars and people who are climbing the ladder, that's what's hard. They have coaches and then they've got to tweak things here and there and stick with it. And certainly he's had massive success. So that's what he's working on. What is it that's going to be different or new or what needs to change? The Los Angeles Rams went all the way to the Super Bowl last year, and here we are with these preseason games and lots of attention still on the Rams, Sean McVay said Thursday that quarterback Jared Goff and running back Todd Gurley will be among the 20 starters who won't make the trip to Hawaii for a preseason game against the Dallas Cowboys, concerned about injuries, concerned about all of that, and decided that the Rams weren't going to take that chance. So here's what McVay had to say, though, about progress and growth with the Rams, the runner-up last year to the Super Bowl-winning Patriots.
I don't necessarily say there's a concern. I think you want to continue to do a great job of developing the depth, continuing to identify some of those guys that we're counting on that are really competing through the preseason, but I don't know if there's really any sort of concern. I think it's just let's continue to consistently approach and attack every single day the way that we have.
All right, so that's vintage Sean McVay. Like I said, they have a lot of the same parts back. Who's to think that the Rams don't have a good shot at being back where they were? All right, speaking of having a good shot, do they have a good shot at equal pay? The women's soccer team from the United States filing a suit back in March for gender discrimination based on what was happening with pay, equity, etc., and conditions, by the way. So then there was mediation possibilities, but no mediation to be had. The two are bumping heads tremendously. Looks like it's going to end up, since they couldn't do the mediation thing, looks like it's going to end up in a court of law, a jury trial, unless somehow somebody decides to settle. Here's what Megan Rapinoe had to say.
I think it's fair for us to ask that when we play a game and we win that game, or we tie that game, or we lose that game, that we should be paid the same as our male counterparts. I don't think that that's an unrealistic or unreasonable ask to have equality.
All right, equal pay. They did a little experiment basically saying if the women won 20 games and the men won 20 games, the women would still make 34 to 38% less. Megan Rapinoe has sort of been the voice because she's a co-captain, and they say they haven't closed the door on resolving their equal pay dispute with the Soccer Federation out of court, but if they can't do it, that's where it'll end up, and they have said this is our parameters. Any conversations with the Federation have to begin with women players getting equal pay to their male counterparts. So if that doesn't happen, then they're going to go for the jury trial. They're going to just keep it on and not take that chance. And that was emphasized on the appearances that Rapinoe and one of the other soccer players have been doing since they knew this was coming out. This is what we're built for. This only makes sense. And then see where it goes. It'd be interesting to see this as a jury trial. What would the jury decide on in trying to come up with, okay, the men play X games, but they haven't won. The women have won 4 World Cups, 2 of them in a row. They've won 4 Olympics in 2020. They're getting ready for another Olympics. I just don't think they're going to back down until and whatever they discuss is about equal pay. I really don't think they're going to have any kind of a we're doing mediation and we're going to figure this out. It seems highly, highly unlikely. And so here's the thing. The men and the women have separate collective bargaining agreements. They have separate pay structures. So the realities are certainly different for the two teams. But there is some flexibility. I would think there would be some sort of way they could make it equitable. I mean, they're saying basically, you don't make it equitable, we'll take our chances. And I wonder what their chances would be like. They'd have to have a really open, no matter what, an open-minded jury. And they'd have to go through all the reasons why they're saying it's heavy discrimination. And then figure it out from there. Be interesting to follow it. Because it could set a precedent, perhaps. Here's a precedent the Philadelphia Phillies would love to say was set by Bryce Harper. One swing, 413-foot homer later, into the skyline of Philadelphia. Maybe does this turn around the season? It was pretty dramatic Thursday night in the bottom of the ninth, the Phillies 7-5 win over the Cubs. Bryce Harper's walk-off grand slam capped a six-run rally. It was definitely a signature moment. It was a signature moment. I mean, he admired his towering fly ball. It landed in the second deck, then sprinted around the bases. He did it in less than 20 seconds, smiling, laughing, got that high five going on, high fives and slap on the back and Gatorade bath for the fee, because you just don't see that all the time. John Kruk, who used to play with the Philadelphia Phillies, now an announcer, just said, "Oh, my God." That's what he said into the microphone. "Oh, my God. What a cut. I mean, what a blast. The insanity of reaching that. Pretty hard to do. But he did it. So a big game for him. 3 for 3, 2 home runs on Wednesday, the middle game of the three-game sweep of the Cubs. A very, very big moment, needless to say. Huge moment. He loved it. I mean, he couldn't get enough of seeing it, watching the bat go down, and then ultimately running the bases. And that's what he did. Phew. All right, how about Yu Darvish? This is our last convo. Yu Darvish used to be a Texas Ranger. He was dished. The Cubs ended up with him. And he wasted a near record-setting outing. He became only the second pitcher to go 4 consecutive starts with 8-plus strikeouts and no walks. No walks. So Cubs manager John Madden said after a 7-5 loss to Philly, he's one of the best pitchers in the National League. He showed it again. So that's good. He has complete faith in him that it'll be better. It'll be better. You'll do it. We know it. But certainly his averages are up there. And that's one of the keys is, you know, how many pitches can you go? The other day he threw 92 pitches. And that's it. You got to be careful. It's that whole pitch count thing I think people don't realize that I got to know when I was constantly with the Texas Rangers. I saw how important that was. So you don't have weary arms and you blow out guys' arms. They have to have surgery. And then you lose them for a year or more than that, 2 years or a year and a half. And woo, and then some, their bodies take a licking, and no matter what, they just keep on taking. I don't know how they do it. Seriously. If you ever get a chance to go on the field, do it in football or in any other sport as close as you can get, because you'll see what it's really like in some of those conversations, and it'll make a whole lot more sense. A whole lot more sense. Hang with us. Some great offerings coming up next. Here with me, Kate Delaney.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump spoke before returning from vacation. He said he disagreed with economists who warned that his policies threatened to trigger a recession.
Our consumers are rich. I gave a tremendous tax cut, and they're loaded up with money. They're buying. I saw the Walmart numbers. They were through the roof just 2 days ago. That's better than any poll.
And the president also blasted the Fox News poll that shows him failing to break even 40% when facing Democrats in the 2020 election. On NBC's Meet the Press, former South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford said he's thinking about challenging the president in the Republican primaries.
The route that we're going right now not only has implications in terms of the Republican Party going forward, but real implications in terms of every young person's ability to sustain the American dream. If you look at the debt and deficit numbers right now, we are in troubling waters.
This is USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on the mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Well, we're excited about our next guest. James McCann is in our virtual green room. And check this out. I'm going to give you a little bit of his background. He spent 20 years as a CEO, where he oversaw some of the operations of some of the world's leading food retail businesses, including Tesco, very big name in Europe and Asia. And I'll tell you what, he's written this book that's called Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide, which when I think about business and then I think of his background as not only that, as an investor, a board member, and an advisor to early stage companies that are disrupting the retail and consumer goods space, I think this is a book that you definitely need to read. So, James, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Kate.
Can you describe the tech revolution for us?
Yeah. So if you sort of zoom out and think about the biggest picture, you know, our society has been through a number of these big changes. You know, we started as hunter-gatherers, and then we became an agricultural society. And then sort of in the late 1700s, early 1800s, we transitioned to become an industrial society. And what's happening and what's been happening for the last 30 years or so is that we're now transitioning to this technological economy. And that is a major, major shift. Because, you know, we'd sort of all got used to working in the industrial economy, and now we're going to have to get used to living and working in the technological age. And I think it's going to be one of the biggest shifts in human history.
And so, James, where are we on the timeline of this? Are we already seeing this tech revolution, and so we can have a sense that we have, okay, I kind of get a feeling for how this is going to go, or are you describing something that's such a huge tidal wave coming that everything we've seen to date pales in comparison to what's to come?
Well, we've already seen a lot of changes. I mean, if you think back, you know, to 1950 and then think about today, you can already see how much change has happened in that very, very short period of time. What's happening is it's just it's broadening and it's accelerating. So, you know, the first part of this change was really around computers, microprocessors, you know, the TV. In the late 90s, you got this huge impact from the arrival of the internet. Then we had the huge impact of the smartphone revolution coming in, you know, the sort of, it was only really in 2007 that started to impact. And what's happening now is it's happening across a whole array of areas, you know, whether it's, you know, genomics or nanotechnology or LIDAR technology, or the really big one is probably artificial intelligence. You've now got a whole bunch of these technological revolutions going on that are enabling society to change and change broadly and more quickly than it's ever had to do in the past.
Wow. So you're definitely describing from end to end fast, dramatic change. Should people listening to this be excited by the tech revolution?
I think as with most things, people should be both excited and concerned. I personally am probably 80% excited and 20% concerned. We have the opportunity in the coming 20 years to redefine what it is that we believe about human society. I really believe that the change is going to be that profound. And so we can push that in a direction, you know, of a society that we would all want to live in. But if we don't act, and if we just have everything happening to us, then there is a danger that society will end up being significantly worse for a very significant proportion of the population. And I think that's our opportunity and our risk in the coming two decades.
We're talking with James McCann. He's the author of the new Forbes book, Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide. By the way, we're going to continue this interview by podcast, so you can also find it at ForbesBook.com. There's one of those edits we were talking about, James. You can also find it at ForbesBooks.com/radio. In addition to being the author of the book Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide, he has a very, very deep background in consumer goods and retail. Today he's an investor, a board member, an advisor, a speaker. And one of the things I want to ask you, James, is as we're looking at this tech revolution, it seems to me that on one hand, there's a lot of players who need to act to get ready for this. And I think it's pretty clear we're not ready for this. But some of the players who need to act, ironically, seem to me young people, millennials, people who are in school today, and also their parents. It seems to me that parents need to be prepared so that they have a place in the workforce today and tomorrow. And young people need to be looking ahead to make sure that they have a place in the workforce for a very, very long time and that they really profit from it instead of being left behind.
Greg, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think, you know, this tech revolution is going to impact everyone in society. And so everybody needs to research what it means, start to understand what the impacts of them and their families may be and their businesses if they're running a company. And then they need to start to think about how they're going to manage and cope as this change continues to accelerate and broaden. I think younger people are just going to have to live with, you know, these changes for much longer. And those changes will continue to broaden and accelerate because the biggest single shift in moving from, you know, the industrial economy to the technological economy is that everything is going to change at that accelerating technological pace. You know, we all know how our computers and our telephones, you know, seem to change every 3 years and we have to update to a new model. That's just going to happen now across most aspects of our society. And people are going to need to learn to live with that. But I don't think there is an opt-out clause. I think people are going to be in this, and they can choose, you know, to try to make the most of it and turn our society into something better, But if they ignore it, it's likely that it will have a negative impact on their lives.
Yeah, I like the way you put that, James, in talking about the accelerating pace of this, moving from the industrial revolution to the technology era that we're in that's really exploding. What do you tell people who are reluctant to embrace that, where they say, I just can't use, I can't tell you, sometimes younger and sometimes older, as I'm a speaker and I speak all over the place and I hear people say, I just don't care. I'm going to go back to the old way of doing it. I can't understand this technology. I don't want to learn it. I don't have time. What do you say to those people who are, as you were mentioning there, reluctant?
Well, the good news for some of those people is that the way the technology is evolving is likely to make it much simpler for them to interface with technology and the tech revolution. You know, the fact that we're going to be able to interface by voice, you know, the fact that we're going to probably within a decade be able to interface directly from our brains with computers and with technology. That is being developed as we speak. You know, the U.S. DARPA organization has put billions of dollars into that research because they want to be able to provide, you know, veterans coming back from the wars with missing limbs, with artificial limbs that can move and feel. And so we are going to be directly interfacing the human mind with the world of technology around it. And that is literally happening now. There is, I think the latest example I saw was a disabled fighter pilot who's now able to control three F-15 fighter jets with his mind alone. So that is going to make it easier for everybody to interact and interface with this world. But I think there is no option to not do it unless you're prepared to sort of move off grid in a pretty substantial way. Everybody who's in work and who's living in mainstream society is going to have to manage these changes as they happen.
What's fascinating me as I read the book, James, and the book title is Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide. It's really fascinating to me that you're really approaching this from a couple of different angles. The Essential Guide part is a perfect subtitle for the book because you're really breaking down how businesses, startups begin and what's key for them to be successful. And I suspect that part of the message here is that we as individuals are going to have to start thinking of ourselves almost like startups and reinventing ourselves every few years as the technology around us changes every few years.
I think that's one of, I think if we just look at the broader picture, society as a whole, I believe, is going to have to rethink what it values. Today, we value economic worth. And I think we're going to have to broaden that to be valuing societal worth. And then within that, we're going to have to take a whole bunch of actions in order to help people to make this transition to have worthwhile lives in the tech age and in the robot age. I think we're going to have to help people to retrain. I think we're going to have to help people to reduce the amount of sort of normal work that they do to become much more entrepreneurial and do much more voluntary types of work. And I think we're going to have to put a safety net in place where we essentially redistribute some of the gains from the tech age to enable people to have a safety net underneath them. And the point that you're making, Greg, you know, the sort of middle section of the book is really to say to people that within that world, one big way of them having a meaningful role and a life is to become much more entrepreneurial, is to, you know, we're already seeing it with the gig economy, but that's just going to broaden, and we're all going to be working for ourselves, whether it's as entrepreneurs or as intrapreneurs within organizations. We're going to be much more, we're going to need to be much more self-starting, going to need to be much, much more able to transition our businesses as the world evolves around us.
Wow, it's fascinating stuff. James, I'm wondering if you can do another segment with us, because we'd love to have you back on and continue this conversation.
I'd love to.
Great. James McCann is the author of Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide, and we look forward to our next conversation with James.
Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
So you're going to love my next guest, because I like the fact that she's written a novel based on crazy things that happened to her that were unexplainable. Did you ever feel that way? Yeah, an author's corner. We've introduced you to a few people that have written about what they know and wrapped it into a novel. And again, it's that something that's unexplained. So Amy Van Gogh has been shrouded in mysteries, as she would say, and puzzles from paranormal events, which led to all kinds of things that have happened in her life situations, and it reflects part of her life, and it's that unexplainable thing. So she's written a book called Enigma and Encrucijadas del Destino, and it talks about this in the character, like I said, in the novel. So you think of the main character, and I'm just going to set this up for you, and the main character is Sue, who is a young forensic who works at the most advanced research center in all of Argentina. She and her boss and her partner are involved in a series of mysteries that have begun with a strange email received that has come in about a murder. So Amy Van Gogh, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you to you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this book. It's really an adventure. I worked very hard to avoid it, but here we are.
Yeah, and so I set up Sue, who is the as a forensic. Do you do that? Is that your line of work?
No, it's not. It doesn't. I work as an actor writer and in psychology, so no, it's not.
Ah, but the psychology comes into play. So the psychology definitely comes into play. What made you decide to write the book? How'd you decide, like, oh, I'm going to put it, this is just too wild. I need to put a spin on this. I need to write this story.
Well, it's something that comes very hard. I don't know, long time ago, around 2011, but I need to write something very interesting, something different. Because I started seeing a lot of books that I read was like try to make some mystery in the life or talk about so much about unexpected things, but go very, very far from the reality and doesn't make the mix that sometimes it really is for a lot of people that work in both worlds, spiritually and real life. And the other part, I am a fan from John Katzenbach. I love the way he writes. So I'm trying thinking, well, what's happening if I can mix the way that it works in Narnia and other stuff and switch or make this twist like John Katzenbach did in one of his books. So that's the main idea of this. Other thing is that I'm struggling with thinking about the unsolved mysteries that we have in our world, like, for example, Jack the Ripper, that we never know who he was, or the Zodiac, that until today they want to fix out the inscription that he left, and no one knows who he was, and all the clues that he left out behind. That's inspired for something shortly, but that's the way.
Yes, so I like that. You think of the mysteries that are unsolved, and Jack the Ripper, there's been so many movies based on that, so many books, because we didn't understand Jack the Ripper. It's unexplainable. What does it mean? And the Zodiac was another great example of people fearful, not understanding what does that mean, people getting attacked, that whole kind of thing. So, wow, how interesting. And then talking about a predator, you know, what the predator can do. And in your book, you talk about the predator. Writing the book, how hard was that for you, Amy? Did you have to discipline yourself to write at certain times of the day?
Not exactly. I have to organize my mind because in that time, I was studying my master's degree. I was teaching at college. So I need to, the imagination will start coming. So I try to figure out when I finish my task. I type a chapter and then I check it. It was very strange. But I finished. I don't have that type of all the day write.
I got it. So, and here you were studying for the masters right in the middle of that whole thing.
Yes.
What do you hope, and this is an adventure, sci-fi, enigma, and Cruciatus del Destino, what do you hope the reader takes away from the book?
Well, I think the person that read the book, it was very interesting because they said that it has the balance between the world worlds, but as I told you, and I want that let them know the reality that sometimes in this time you are going to have an unexplained thing and you can handle it. You try to think about it. Sometimes you need to feel it. Sometimes we are around a lot of stranger things and we don't put attention because we are so involved in other things that we can manage everything of that. So that's the thing that I want, that they start learning more about the reality that is happening until today and to live the present and value all the things that they have.
Ah,
because
I like it.
Today, today you have something, but 30 minutes going to pass and you're not going to still here. So you need to live the best way you can all this time. And it's part of the scenarios that I put in the book, that today you are here and the other 5 minutes you will be in nowhere and you feel all your fears. You need to avoid all that fears about lonely, about die, about everything that all the humans have in some time of on your life. So it's like, forget about this and focus on the things that really is really important to you. Your family, your parents, all of that.
I like that. So focus on what's important to you. Don't dwell on the other things, your fears, etc. That's a great message. Amy, if somebody wants to get your book, can they get it on Amazon? Where can they get your book?
Yes, you can get it on Amazon in Lit Fire 2. It's an e-book. You can search on the web and you can find it. It's a very common place that you can find the book. And it's really going to help you to understand a lot of things about you, because to understand this book, basically the first 12 chapters are a little complicated because that's the introduction for the next book that I'm writing right now. But this will help you a lot.
I like that. So you're writing another book, and so that's something to look forward to.
Yeah. The other book is Enigma. You mentioned Clue.
So like a follow to that. Very good. All right, Amy Van Gogh, again, you can pick the book up. You can pick it up at Amazon or any place where books are sold, as Amy mentioned. And the great message there at the end, of course, is to face your fears and just live your life. Amy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
All right, so interesting, and see already, it's just like so many writers here on Author's Corner where you think, well, can I write a book? I have the story idea, the unexplained. I'm thinking of stories, as Amy said, like Jack the Ripper or Zodiac, and she comes up with a character, sits down, and even though she's getting her master's, she finds the time to write the book, and then here she's got a second book that's, you know, right there ready to come out as well. And we find that that happens. It's interesting because even in my world, that's what my nephew said to me. What's next? What's your next book? So bravo to anyone. And that's the idea behind doing Author's Corner, who writes a book. And in this book, it is about, as I said, the character, a young forensic who works at the most advanced, picture this, research center in all of Argentina. Her boss and her partner are involved in a series of mysteries that start with a strange email, and their boss gets it. It's about a murder, and in an email they call the person the Predator. So the Predator has discovered the location of dimensional doors. The dimensional doors, I'm very curious about with the Predator, and can you imagine? And that's all I'm going to tell you about the book, but the name of it is Enigma, Encrucijadas del Destino. Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.